Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation's chapter 22, page 1352. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read through verse 7. We'll read the verses responsively. And the text verse for this evening's message is the third verse. And let's stand, all of us, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And now the text verse, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Together on verse 7, please. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Let's pray. Father, we of course are made to think about heaven tonight. We know some people who are there. We know that thou art there. And we have some holy anticipation for that place. To be sure, we're prisoners of this body. We're fastened to this globe spinning through space. And it's needful that we be here for a while. But it's good that we can have thoughts of the eternal. And the message tonight telling us about that wonderful place called heaven. Bless the preaching of the message. Help our hearts to be hungry for thy word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Father, we come again to examine this wonderful place where soon we'll all be, all of us who are saved. And we come to talk about it and think about it. Just like we'd plan a trip, like a family would plan a vacation and learn about what they can do when they get there. We're going to Colorado. What can we do in Denver? Well, we can go to Estes Park. We can drive the Trail Ridge Road. We can ride horseback. There are good restaurants there. We can go sightseeing. And we come to heaven with that same anticipation to discuss where soon we will be and where forever we'll be. So bless us tonight as we think of things eternal for just a while. Amen. A heaven where we will do nothing but sit neath the shade of the tree of life and watch the pearly streams of the river of life and gaze at the splendor of the gems of paradise just doesn't appeal to me if that's all we do. That may do for some monastic monk, but not for me, and the monastic monk won't be there anyway. Heaven is a busy place. Heaven is not a place where we stand around holding palm branches over each other and sitting by the river of life watching sanctified fish jump up, and beg to be caught. Heaven is not a place where we'll spend all of our lives just singing, holy, 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 holy. It's a busy place. Now tonight, I want to talk to you about what will occupy. I started to say our time there, but there won't be any time there. Time is a measurement, a measuring stick of deterioration. and nothing will deteriorate there. So there's no way you can measure it, and so there's no time. The Bible says where time shall be no more. Now, just what will occupy us in heaven? Now, I'm going to use some Bible tonight and some plain old common sense to tell you what we're going to do in heaven. You see, we're not going to be changed an awful lot when we get to heaven. We're still going to be ourselves. I'm still going to be Jack Hiles. And John Colston is still going to be John Colston. And Ray Young is still going to be Ray Young. And we shall know even as we're also known. So since we're going to be in heaven, much like we are here, we will do the same type things in heaven that are right to do that we will do here. Now there are a lot of ground I got to cover tonight, and I'll cover it faster if you'll listen quickly. And so you'll listen very carefully, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do when we get there. The first word is the word service. We're going to serve Him. Revelation 22:3 says, His servants shall serve Him. God put man in the first paradise and told him to dress it and keep it. So God expects His people to keep busy also in the second paradise. Now, how will we serve Him? Same way we serve Him here. How do you serve God here? Well, Matthew 25:40 tells us how we serve God here. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So, I serve Him here by serving you. And you serve Him here by serving others. So I will serve Him there by continuing to serve you. I have served you here as I have carefully provided for you a spiritual diet for these 35 years as is served over this pulpit. I have served you here by teaching you how to live, as I tried to do for a while this morning. I have served you here by trying to inspire you to success. I have served you here by trying to challenge you to new heights. I have served you here by exhorting you to live right. I have served you here by correcting you when you have done wrong. I have served you here by standing in my office after the service at the door many tens of thousands of hours answering your questions and trying to help you with your needs and solving your problems. I have served you here by trying to reclaim your fallen. I have served you here by counseling with 147 of you average per week for the last 25 years or more. I have served you here by trying to save your nation as I've covered the country, trying to save your nation. I have served you here by training others to serve you like these men on the platform whom I've tried to train so they could serve you as they do so efficiently and so well. I have served you here by marrying your young. I have served you here by trying to comfort you in your hour of bereavement. I have served you here by praying for your sick. I have served you here by trying to salvage your marriages and strengthen your marriages. I have served you here by keeping special ministries going for the deaf and the blind and the retarded and the Vietnamese and the bus ministry and all the others. I have served you here by administering the world's largest independent fundamental Baptist college. I have served you here by administering the Hammond Baptist schools. I have served you here by administrating the largest church in America. It would not be heaven to me if I could not serve you there. I mean that. I would not know. It wouldn't be heaven if there's something that I could not do for you. And likewise, there be some things that you can do for me and do for each other. We're going to serve God in heaven. That means we'll have occupation in heaven. We'll go to work, but it won't be work. It won't be sweat. We won't dread it. But we'll have ways of being occupied to make the rest of us enjoy it more, even as we do here on earth. But there's something else that we're going to do in heaven besides serve God, and that is we're going to have some social life in heaven. Now, we have social life here, and I shall be known even as I'm also known when I get there. Now, I'm going to talk to you for a while about some of the social life we're going to have. Now, where could we begin except at the table? We will eat in heaven. our Savior was on the road to Emmaus and in his glorified, resurrected body, and he stayed and ate with the disciples at Emmaus. When Jesus saw Peter after Peter had forsaken him and gone fishing, Jesus saw Peter in his resurrection body. The Bible said that Peter came to the shore and they cooked some fish and they ate. Jesus ate in his resurrection body. Ushers, would you be sure folks have seats back in the back? Just help the folks find a seat, please. I don't like to see folks walking around while I'm preaching. Just find a seat now. And that's what the hallway is for. And I'm saying that Jesus cooked some fish, and he and Peter ate the fish. He was in his glorified body. The Bible says there'll be fruit on the tree of life in heaven. Well, pray tell me, what's a fruit for? Fruit's to eat. That's what fruit is for. And the Bible says that when the rapture takes place, we're going to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I haven't got much sense, but I know what a supper's all about. Bible talks about the wedding feast in the sky, and I've been to feast before, and that's not just to play checkers. I know what it's like. Now, if the Bible says that the manna that fell from heaven for 40 years for the Israelites when they're in the wilderness was angels' food. That means angels eat. They had angels' food. And that means that I'm going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and the wedding feast, and that means that Jesus ate, and so I will eat. So we're going to spend a heap of our time eating in heaven, probably about 23 hours a day. It'll all be a low-fat diet. In fact, I've been on a low-fat diet for years. Most of my fat's down low here, but I noticed many of you have been on a low-fat diet too, but be no calories there at all, and we will eat. I'm saying that we'll go and be employed. We'll have houses to live in, and we'll come back home, and we'll eat and enjoy good food. Now then, not only that, but there will be sightseeing in heaven. You see, I mentioned, was it last Sunday night or Sunday night before last, that every mansion in heaven is different. According to our own taste and preferences, every mansion is different. Well, I want to go see him. I want to go see Brother Colston's mansion. He has a certain taste, and I want to go see it. How many of you have ever driven by our house just to see where we live? Raise your hand, would you please? Well, then, don't you think you're going to want to drive by and see where we live in heaven? And I want to see where you live. I'm going to go see Brother Young's mansion. I want to see what it looks like. I'm going to go Lower Wacker Drive and see Brother Moffitt. He's a street person up in heaven. And I want to see where he lives. And I'm simply saying that anybody knows that when your loved ones, if all of us have beautiful mansions, aren't you going to wonder what kind of a mansion that Mrs. Colston and Brother Colston live in, and that Dr. Jorgensen lives in, and the Spanish mansion that Brother Victor Hernandez lives in? Well, of course you are. And so I have no doubt that much of our time will be just sightseeing. I want to know where famous Christians live. Won't you be interested to know where Peter lives? I mean, don't you want to drive by and say, that's O.J.? No, I'm sorry. You won't drive by and say, hey, that's where Elijah lives right there. And won't you be interested to find out where John the Baptist lives? And where Noah lives, and where David lives, and where Abraham lives? I'm interested to know where Dwight Moody lives, and I want to know what kind of mansion John Rice has. Well, I've probably got 1,000 mansions I want to visit right away. And so there'll dead sure be some sightseeing to know where Charles G. Finney lives, and Jonathan Edwards lives, and Charles Spurgeon lives. Then also there'll be time visiting each other. I want to tour your mansion, and I want to have you come over and look at ours, and see what a nice place we have, and what I want to see what a nice place that you have. Look, we're not going to be a bunch of spirits in a blindfolded vacuum floating around up there dreaming forever. We're going to have bodies. We're going to have flesh. We're going to have bone.
We're going to have houses. It's going to be on a real planet. We're going to have physical solids to live in and solid furniture. And I'll want to know, anybody here ever been to our house inside? Raise your hand, would you please? Anybody here ever taken a tour of our house? Would you raise your hand, please? And I won't bet you it's wrong to bet, so I'll wager. I wager that if we had a little shindig at our house, you're going to get to tour our house. Let me know, because I need to clean it up before you get there, as I mentioned this morning. But you'd like to know what's in the Hiles house. I enjoyed touring Dr. John Rice's house down in Murfreesboro. I enjoyed one time touring Dr. Lee Robertson's house down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, years ago, and eating there with him in his house. And so certainly we'll want to tour each other's mansions, and then we'll want to get together and relive what happened on Earth. I mean, there's a lot of things we're going to have to remember. I'm talking about exciting things. I'm talking about... But that's what we do here, isn't it? You get together and we're going to be people there too. You're not going to just be some spook up there, unless you're a spook down here. But I'm simply saying that we'll get together. We'll have reunions. I'm looking forward to getting, at least for a little while, my membership down at the Grange Hall Baptist Church, that little church I used to pastor. And I'm looking forward to having a reunion with those dear members. I'm looking forward to seeing Miss Pepper, hot family, and I'm looking forward to seeing Jack and Eva Smoke and that strangest names down there, and Mrs. Smoke and Mrs. Fur and have you ever looked at your names, Jar Zambuski and Kozlowski and Muscovucci But I'm looking forward to all those old people. Most of them are in heaven now, down and I'm looking forward, by the way, to who's not there in this reunion too. That was down there at the Grange Hall Baptist Church. I don't want to see Mr. Roberts. I don't expect to see him. But anyway, then I'm looking forward to getting the old Miller Road crowd. 40 years ago, we were together. I'm looking forward to getting the old Miller Road crowd together, and we're going to have a reunion. And then, of course, we got 35 years of people that have left us and gone to heaven, and we're going to have a big, big reunion with all the First Baptist people that are there. I mean, that's what we do down here. Don't you like to go to reunions down here? Well, we're going to be the same there. We're going to want to remember what went on down here and all the funny things that happened, how the guy fainted at the wedding the other night. And we're going to want to remember all that stuff. And that, of course, will be a part of it. And then we'll also, I think, we'll have concerts. David didn't hang up his harp when he got to heaven. The Bible talks about cornets and cymbals and organs and choirs of angels. We're going to go to concerts. I mean, we'll go to just a big auditorium over here and have an angelic concert. And I'm simply saying that we're going to be busy in heaven. Music was born in heaven. It's the headquarters of harmony. And certainly, we're going to have music in heaven. But that isn't all. I think we'll have sing-alongs in heaven. We'll gather together and sing songs we sang down here on earth. Remember how we used to sing down there? When we all get to heaven, we're here now. But let's sing it together again, shall we? Not now, but when we get to heaven. And by the way, I'll be able to carry the right tune when we get to heaven, too. You mess with me and I'll sing for you right now. I preached that sermon on, Wounded Spirit. In that sermon, I sing over and over again that song, Everything's All Right in My Father's House. One little boy came up after the sermon and said, which one of those tunes was the right tune, Brother Hiles? But we'll have sing-alongs in heaven, and we'll sing together. There's a land that is fairer than day, and we'll be at that land that's fair. Hey, I'm getting happy all of a sudden here. And we'll be at that land that's fairer than day. And then, of course, we'll have other things to do. We'll have chariot riding. Psalm 68:17 says there are 20,000 chariots up in heaven. What do you think they're there for? Line the streets and double park? No. No, they're there for us to ride, dumb bunny. And so we'll go for a chariot ride, to 20,000 of them, and we'll keep them busy all the time. and we'll go horseback riding. Oh, you say, how do you know? Because we will be as we are, and the Bible says there's a horse in heaven for every saint. You say, where'd it say that? I'm glad you asked. Revelation 19, 11 through 14 says we're all going to come back to the millennium from the marriage of the Lamb. We're going to come back to earth, each of us riding on a white horse. And so we're all going to have horses. We go horseback riding any time we want to. And I'm going to have to learn how, because when a horse goes down, I always go up. When it comes up, I always go down, and we sort of ride like that together. But you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if the horse is sore when we get through or not, but I dead sure am. And I don't know where he's sore, but I can tell you where I'm sore when I get through out of it for sure. I'm trying to tell you folks that we'll go horseback riding, we'll go chariot riding, we'll go to concerts, we'll visit each other, we'll see each other's mansions, we'll ride around heaven and look at each other's beautiful mansions, and then we'll have good fellowship in heaven. If you want to know more about the Garden of Eden, just go talk to Adam for a while. He'll tell you about the Garden of Eden. If you want to know more about the parting of the Red Sea, just go talk to Moses a while. He'll tell you all about the parting of the Red Sea. If you want to go learn more about Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus, just go talk to the angels for a while. They were there and hovered over, and they'll explain it, or the shepherds will explain it to you. If you want to know about the sun and the moon halting, and just ask Joshua. He'll explain that to you. If you want to know about the fire falling on Sodom, just ask Lot about the fire falling on Sodom. If you want to know about Pentecost, just ask Peter what Pentecost was like and was all about. If you want to know about Mount Carmel, then you just ask Elijah, and he'll talk to you for a while about how it happened on Mount Carmel. And if you want to know about Calvary, just call the thief on the cross for a while and ask him to tell you about Calvary and what it was all about. If you want to know about the old-time revival, just go knock on Mr. Moody's door for a while. And Mr. Moody will talk to you and explain to you the old-fashioned revivals. Or how about the Billy Sunday campaign? Young people, sit down while I'm preaching. Young people, sit down. Young people, leaving, don't let them come back in. This is not a yo-yo place here. Time for having preaching service. And thank God, when you get to heaven, there won't be any restrooms either for folks to have to go to. Use your imagination all you want to about that. Then, I've got written down my outline. Get happy here, so I got to get happy right here. Now, what else we do in heaven? We talked about a lot of stuff we're going to do there. We're going to visit each other. We're going to drive around and look at everybody's mansions. We're going to talk to all... Man, I've got a lot of people I want to talk to. I got a lot of folks I want to meet. And I've got a lot of folks that I want to meet again in reunion time. But there's something else. We will spend a lot of time welcoming loved ones and friends. Heaven's newspaper comes out. It's called the Heaven Today. And it comes out. Now, I'm as sure as I am that I'm standing here that there'll be a list of all the arrivals coming today. You'll pick up the paper and say, looky there. Mama is coming today. You think we won't spend a lot of time just welcoming each other? I mean, look, every day, I don't know how many thousands and tens of thousands of people I know, how many thousands of people I love. See, when I get to heaven, you rascals are going to still be down here. And you better live right, too. Whoever pastors this church, I'll promise you this. If you ladies start wearing shorts and pants, I'll promise you this, I'll send lightning and destroy this building. Because God's going to have me in charge of the electricity department when I get to heaven. But I'm going to be up there. And you know what? I pick up the paper and it says, John Colston is arriving today. And that's the day I'm going to go to a recital somewhere. But I'll go and I'll watch him come. And by the way, I'll look down and watch him die too. Watch him die. And I'll watch that spirit leave that body. And I'll see him as he comes. And I'll say, I'll declare, there's old Johnny Colston. I never thought. But anyway.
I'll pick up the paper under the M's, and there'll be Marshall, and there'll be Murkowski, and there'll be Molinar, and there'll be... I don't see it. Man, let me tell you something. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor that hath entered into the heart of man that God's prepared for those that love him. Man, don't you think Mrs. Huber was waiting there if Mr. Huber got there? Don't you think she is praying up in heaven for him not to get well? She's praying for that surgery, open heart surgery, to be a failure. So don't you think 10 weeks ago today, Mrs. Huber went to heaven, and yesterday, a little almost 10 weeks later, he went to heaven. And now, don't you think she was there to meet him? Now, some of you gals won't know which one to meet. If any of those Hollywood movie stars get saved, they'll spend all their time greeting husbands. If Liz Taylor and her crowd ever get saved, she won't have time to do anything else. But there's the list of folks arriving today. Don't you think that we'll have a time saying, Brother Colston, come here. Man alive. Hey, how are things down there at Hammond? Oh, that's great. Man, we sure glad to have. Let me go show you where I live. Look at there, man. Those golden dishes I washed today, right there. Isn't that nice? Huh? Oh, boy, I tell you what. And look at all of the tree of life. I got a bunch of them out there in the backyard. Isn't that something? And I want you to meet other folks that are here. I want you to meet Brother Boardway. He's been here a long time. And... Yeah. Remember him?
Yes.
He's the guy, the off-key choir director. Remember him? Yeah. You slept just a few feet from him every Sunday morning and Sunday night. And here's old Keith McKinney. Remember old Keith McKinney? You didn't recognize. He weighs 120 now up here in heaven.
Cold black hair.
I want you to meet all my friends up here. Then there's the old Jack Scott over here. All right. Oh, let me tell you something. You know, years ago I used to go out in the country every Thursday afternoon. I was in college to visit an old missionary named Gustav Norling. He had served in Sweden for years and years. Oh, my soul, probably 60 years. And now he's failing health, about to go to heaven. He used to say to us preacher boys, he'd say, fellas, he'll say, you can't lie when you talk about how wonderful heaven is. He said, you can't exaggerate. He said, just make up a bunch of stuff that's good. It won't be as good as it's going to be. You can't exaggerate. I've dreamed of a place that's called heaven. Sweet home of the happy and free. Sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. What are we going to do? Go to concerts. What are we going to do? We're going to go horseback riding. What are we going to do? Go chariot riding. What are we going to do? Going to serve God. What are we going to do? Going to eat. What are we going to do? We're gonna go to concerts. What we're gonna do? We're gonna eat. What we're gonna do? We're gonna welcome people to heaven. What we're gonna do? We're gonna eat. Then I think there'll be museums to visit in heaven. I told you the other night that the Ark of the Covenant is gonna be in heaven. That means that the golden pot of manna that was in the Ark of the Covenant will be in heaven. That means that the Aaron's rod that budded will be in heaven. That means that the actual stones on which were written the Ten Commandments will be in heaven, and we'll see those actual stones. Now, that means, I also told you, the Bible says the golden candlestick's going to be in heaven. The table of showbread's going to be in heaven. The altar of incense is going to be in heaven. And so I'm simply saying that if all those earthly things can get up, it's no problem for God to ship something to heaven from earth. And heaven is going to be a place of solids. And so there'll be a lot of things. And I think we'll go to a museum. As I said, the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to want to see that. and the golden candlestick, and the altar of incense, and the brazen altar, and the table of showbread, the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, the golden pot of manna. And I wouldn't be surprised, but in some museum up there, the rod that Moses had will be there. I say, in fact, Lord, go ahead and take care of that for me. And the rod that Moses had. I want to see that rod where they took and smote the waters of the Red Sea and said, part, and the waters of the Red Sea stood up and said, yes, sir. And they stood at attention. And then the wind blew and dried up the ground where the waters had been. All those Israelites went over on dry ground. He took that same rod and he smote the rock in Horeb, and there gushed forth enough water to take care of all of the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. I think that rod may be there. I think that the fish that had the coin in his mouth, be swimming around there in the river of life. I want to see that. You say, is that fish going to live that long? It's going to be a glorified fish. And I want to see it. I believe with all of my heart, with all of my soul, I believe that the very tree on which Jesus Christ was crucified will be in heaven. We'll sing the old rugged cross and look at the old rugged cross. Wouldn't that be wonderful to go to a museum and say, there it is, Brother Ray, there it is right there. Right there on that piece of wood, Jesus died for me. Hey, what took place on that piece of wood is what got me here, right there. Man, we'll have about a spell after spell after spell. We'll sing, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Now he's called me today to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. I think in heaven's museum, I have no doubt but that you'll have the donkey that Jesus rode. I think you'll have the manger where he was born. I think you'll have the sepulcher. I think it'll be there. Look up there and say, that's where he was, right there. In that sepulcher right there. That's where he was. By the way, it's still empty, and we'll relive it. And I think that the pulpit that Peter used on Pentecost may well be there. I'm trying to tell you, folks, as old Gustave Norling said, just say what you want to say. I mean, if the cross isn't there, something better is going to be there. I'm saying that I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those that love him. And then we're going to learn in heaven. They say that the smartest people only use about 5% of their brain capacity. Brother Moffat uses about 0.1% of his brain capacity. Isaac Newton has stopped picking up pebbles and is descended to the depths of the ocean of truth. Now, if he's in heaven, astronomers are studying new stars that will come when the old have passed away. Einstein, if he's there, will look upon his earthly knowledge as freshman math as he learns the mathematics of heaven. And can you imagine, I'm going to have a little fun right here, can you imagine the videos we'll have there? Walk down there to the Hiles Buster place. Buy a video. How about a video of the raising of Lazarus? Huh? We'll have you all over, Brother Jack. And we'll just look at the video of the raising of Lazarus. And we'll see it just like it was. There's Jesus right there. And we know he's coming out. And that's what makes it so much fun. We know what's going to happen. It's like the rerun of a ball game that you win. And we'll watch the video. Or can you imagine having a video of Calvary? I have no doubt, folks. Good night. We have videos down here of what happened years and years and years ago. You can get videos of President Kennedy's death. You can get videos of his burial. I have no doubt that in heaven we'll be as smart as we are here. And think about it. All these television sets we'll have in Hollywood will be in hell. All the producers will be in hell. All the whores and harlots will be in hell. Every channel will be a Christian channel, a Baptist channel. We'll have all this charismatic Christian radio Charismatic Christian TV. It'll all be Baptismatic TV and Baptismatic video. And we'll sit there in our mansions and we'll say, good night, look at there. There's Jesus feeding the 5,000. I want to see what kind of fight that little boy puts up with Andrew. Come on, son. Come on. I want to see the faces on the scribes and Pharisees when all that fish begins to multiply. When all those loaves begin to get bigger and bigger and little loaves popping off the side of them. I mean, videos. You say, Brother Hiles, where's it said in the Bible? It doesn't have to say it in the Bible. I said it. Imagine a video of Jesus walking on the water. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be a good youth activity. I'll let you know. Jesus stepping out there on the water. Now I want to see Peter when he walked in and started falling. I say, you're in for surprise, Mr. Pete. Videos? We'll be watching videos of what John saw on Patmos. Or Peter preaching on Pentecost. Or the walls of Jericho falling. Or I want to see a video of Mount Carmel. A whole mountain made of Carmel. Think of that. You folks that not going to heaven, don't laugh. We're having fun tonight. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand at 60, almost 68 years old, and cast a wistful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I've been sending stuff up there for 60, almost 68 years, and they're working on my mansion, but some of you folks don't have much up there and they're not going to have much mansion. And I'm simply saying, I'm on my way and it won't be very long till I get there, and I'm going to live it up. I'll look forward to it when I get there. You think we're having fun tonight, you wait till we get there. I'm saying, let's go back to that video of Mount Carmel. I want to see those 800 Southern Baptists trying to get fire to fall. And while they're begging for fire, oh Baal, send fire. Elijah's sitting over there sipping on Diet Coke. Saying, call a little louder, fellas. I got plenty of time. Maybe he's going on a trip. He'll be back after a while. Maybe he's gone hunting. He's pursuing or being pursued. He's either hunting or somebody's hunting him. He might be driving up down the streets of Los Angeles being hunted. I don't know. Call a little louder. And I want to see those prophets of Baal on a video slash themselves and cut themselves. Oh, Baal, hear us. I just said you boys through. I learned how to do this, Tiles Anderson. Thou the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thou the living God, the true and the living God. Show thyself, and the fire fell. And I'll see it on a video. I want to get a video on Goliath and David. I want to see that big ox up there on challenge in Israel. Little old David walking up chewing on a weed. The kind we used to pull out of a little socket down in Texas. Saying to his brother, I want somebody to take care of that big loud mouth fella. His brother said, have you gotten a good look at him? He said, yeah. Yeah, it's not hard to get a good look at him. Now, sonny boy, you go back work at home. You take care of the sheep. The army's a place for men. But he said, you men ain't doing nothing about it. He said, you think you could handle him instead of killed a bear? Oh, you didn't. Yes, I did. I killed a lion? No. Yes, I did. We better go talk to Saul, King Saul. He walks into King Saul, head and shoulders above all the people. He's the guy that should have been out here fighting Goliath. King Saul says, sonny boy, what do you want? How'd you get out of the nursery? He says, I want to go out there and lick that big loud mouth. He said, you? Yeah. Now, Sonny boy, this is no place for boys. This is a place for men. He said, the men are over there shaking and scared to death. This is all in the Hebrew. He said, I can take care of that big fella. I killed a lion. You what? I killed the lion. His hand. You did? Yeah. I also killed a bear. You did? Yeah. Okay, he said, Saul, you can borrow my armor. This old David, about the size of Jorgensen, gets in Keith McKinney's armor. Walks a half a block, and the armor doesn't move. I can't do this. He said, I can't use your sword. I can't use your armor. For I have not proved them, but I have proved this slingshot here. I've proved it. And brother, I'm not going to get off on a bunch of extra stuff in our church. I have not proved drama. I have not proved opera. I have not proved all this home Bible study. I have not proved the NIV. I have not proved the American Standard. I have not proved the Revised Version. I have not proved Good News to Modern Man. I have not proved the New Way Version. But I prove you King James Bible. Little David go, and we're watching this on video. No commercials. I want to see a video of crossing of the Red Sea, or Jesus praying at the Garden of Gethsemane, or the Last Supper. Imagine studying Revelation and letting John teach the course. That beats Scop and Jorgensen. In fact, Judas Iscariot teaching to beat Scop and Jorgensen. Imagine studying the Pentateuch from Moses. Imagine David teaching the Psalms. Imagine Paul teaching Romans. Well, don't you think we're going to have Bible study in heaven? Of course we're going to have Bible study in heaven. We're not going to know all the Bible we know. We get to heaven, we won't all of a sudden memorize the Bible. We're going to have Bible study in heaven. Imagine, if you could, please. Solomon teaching Proverbs, or Daniel teaching his own book of prophecy, or John teaching the Gospels. And then, may I say this, there'll be a lot of family time in heaven, too. Matthew 8:11 says, many shall come in the kingdom and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Grandfather, father, son, three generations. Jacob, his father Isaac, and his father Abraham. They're going to be sitting together. The family will be together in heaven. In Genesis 35:29, talks about Isaac's death. It said Isaac died and was gathered to his people. My mother saw her children when she died, went to heaven. My mother saw her two brothers, Roy and Basil, and their wives, Aunt Garen and Octi. My mother saw her sister, Aunt Jimmy, and Uncle Harvey, her brother-in-law, when she died. She was carried unto her people. When Dr. Rice's mother died, she said, I see my baby. There's my baby. She was being carried to her people. There'd be family time there. Don't you see what I'm saying? I'm saying there'll be social life. There'll be occupation. There'll be family time. All of these things we'll be able to do and will do when we get to heaven. Lastly, we'll go to church. No invitations. Some of you folks want to enjoy heaven. You can't walk out during invitation. Did you hear that? Won't be anybody unsaved. Won't have to give them invitations. We can all go to tables at the same time. Sure, we'll have church in heaven. Hebrews 12:23 talks about the church of the firstborn assembled in heaven. I think we'll have churches in heaven. People assemble. What will you assemble for? We'll assemble to just praise God, learn the Bible, preach. I'll be your pastor in heaven. Don't let that discourage you. I won't be near as mean in heaven as I am down here. You know why I won't be as mean as in heaven as I am down here? Because you won't be as mean in heaven as you are down here. If you don't live mean, I won't have to preach mean. But the Bible says it'll be a perfect church. It'll be perfect praise. We'll have a perfect Lord's Supper. Eternity will be our cathedral. The deaf will still sit together, but they won't be deaf. And the blind will still sit together, but they won't be blind. And the retarded will still sit together, but they won't be retarded. And I can preach then like I wish I could now. Think of the guest speakers we'll have. Folks, next Sunday, Dwight L. Moody is going to be our guest speaker. You don't want to hear me, huh? And since there's no time, Moody and I both can speak for a couple hours apiece. Well, Billy Sunday next week, he's going to break some heavenly chairs up here. Billy Sunday next week. And we'll have the Apostle Paul speak for some at our church of the firstborn assembled in the sky. We'll have testimony time. That's one thing about a big church that is a handicap. We can't have testimonies. But in heaven, we can all be heard real well. And we can all testify. We won't be in any hurry. We'll never preach till it's dark. Because it'll never be dark. Mary Magdalene will stand up. I'd like to give my testimony. I was possessed of 7 devils. You can't imagine how wicked I was. But one day Jesus came to my hometown of Magdala. And I saw in Him what I needed, and I was a dirty sinner. And I came to Him, and He saved me, and I became His servant. I did the best I could to serve Him. And all of heaven will stand up and sing, "Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift her from the miry clay, and set her free." The thief will stand up. Thief on the cross will stand up. Say, "I was dying. I was just a breath or two away from hell. But I saw beside me on the cross somebody dying that was different. And I suddenly believed that that was the Son of God. I had heard about the sacrifice. In fact, I'd been to Passover and observed the Passover. I knew that someday God would send His own sacrifice. When I looked over and saw Jesus beside me dying, something said to me, that must be the Messiah. And I looked over and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I thought there was going to be a kingdom someday. Whenever that kingdom came, I wanted Jesus to remember me. But Jesus said, "Kingdom, nothing." He said, "How about today?" You don't have to wait to after the tribulation period when the millennium comes. I'll take you right now. We'll go to paradise together. And He said, right there on the cross, praise God, I got born again and went to paradise with Jesus. Zoot sweet, just like that. And all of heaven will sing, "Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free." One by one, we'll give our testimonies. Woman at the well will stand and say, "I went down to get some water one day. Saw a man there at the well. And he said, could I have a drink of water, please?" And he said, "I'm in the water business, too." Said, "You in the water business?" "Yeah." But said, "The water I have, said, if you take one drink of it, you'll never need to drink again." I told him, I said, "Boy, that sure beats this water I got. I'd have to tote this water on my head and tote it back." That tote's a southern word for carry. It's the original word for carry in the Greek. "Have to tote it back and I come down here several times a day and put that water on the head." That's how women got flat-headed, was that putting those bottles of water on their head. But she said that day, I said, "What water are you talking about?" And Jesus said, He told me, said, "I'm the living water." And He said, "Go call your husband." She said, "I have no husband." Or she's testifying. I told Him I had no husband. He said, "I know, but you've had 5. And the guy you live with now is not your husband. And I told him, good night. I better get out of here. I see I'm in trouble. You're a prophet. I went downtown and told him, hey, come see a man told me all things I ever did. He didn't tell her all things he ever did. He just told her she's been married 5 times, living with a guy. But you can excuse her because she was a woman, exaggerating a little bit. And she said, I was saved beside that. Well, I went down to Sychar and got those men I've been living with and as a harlot and a whore, and then brought them up, and revival broke out. And all of heaven will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost harlot, lift her from the mire clay, and set her free. Little old Zacchaeus, stand up, I'd like to testify. I'd like to tell you how that one day I went up to Matthew's house, and Matthew had a big feast for all the publicans and all tax collectors, and told how he got saved, introduced us to Jesus. And then one day Jesus was coming down the road from Jericho on the way to the cross, and I climbed up a tree and I looked down and saw him, and Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for dinner today. I took you to my house and I got saved. My wife got saved. All my kids got saved. We all got baptized the same day. And all of heaven, hallelujah, what a Savior you can take a poor lost tax collector, lift him from the mire clay and set him free. Apostle Paul said, I'd like to say a word. I murdered Christians. I persecuted Christians. I made havoc with God's people. One day I was going to Damascus to make some havoc with God's people, when suddenly I was smitten with a light from heaven. I looked up and said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I said, Lord, what would thou have me do? And right there on the Damascus road, I got born again. Now I was killing Christians. Now then I became one, and I spent my life trying to make up for what I'd done against the gospel. All of heaven will say, hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the mire clay, and set him free. And I'll say, could I say a word, please? I cannot tell you that I was on the road to Damascus to kill some Christians. Or can I tell you that I was beside the well as an adult? Nor can I tell you that I was a crooked tax collector? But I can tell you that I was a poor little boy that grew up in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. And my daddy was a neighborhood drunk, and I didn't know what it was to have shoes that were my own. But one night at the Fernwood Baptist Church, walking out to the outdoor service, I knelt there on a little walkway, looked up, and these are the very words I prayed. Dear Jesus, if you'll have a poor little boy whose daddy's the neighborhood drunk, I'll take you as my Savior and take the mansion that you want to prepare for me. And that night, God saved me and made me His child. And I don't have the testimonies like all you guys have, but I did spend 50 years preaching. I spent 50 years talking about my Savior right there. And all of heaven will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor, lost, ghetto-bound little poor boy, lift him from the mire clay and set him free. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He's prepared for me a place. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare me a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, in the sweet by and by, I dreamed of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the happy and free, sweet haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. The haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. We'll have plenty to do. And we'll have plenty of time to do it. And we'll play reruns of those videos over and over and over again. Oh, we're going to have so much to relive. So much to relive. So many things have happened in these 35 years. We get there, we can just relive all the wonderful experiences. We'll have old Tom Lemon faint again for us up there in heaven, roll down the steps. I feel like I I've always felt every Sunday night like I didn't do a very good job, because I can't tell you how wonderful it's going to be. It's just going to be a while. We're all going to be there. Just a while. And you know one good thing about it? I don't want to die. I'll be glad when we get to a place where I won't have to think about dying. I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to die. I don't mind dying, but I don't want to be dead. I don't want anybody dressing me, deciding what suit I wear. I'll decide what suit I wear. But we'll be there, and we'll never get sick again, and we'll never have temperature, and we'll never have the flu, and nobody will ever have cancer, and we'll never say pray for so-and-so because he has a brain tumor, and we'll never say pray for Ms. Evans because she's having chemotherapy, and we'll never have to say the baby was born retarded, pray it'll be normal. We'll never have to say that the little boy was found face down in the swimming pool. Looks like he'd be in a vegetative state the rest of his life. We'll never have to say that. It's sort of like, and I don't know when I want to stop, it's sort of like in the paratroopers. We'd sit up there in an airplane. Well, first they'd put us down there in what they call a sweatshed. And we'd sit there for a while before we jumped. We had our parachutes on, all of our stuff on. And they'd play some mournful music. Yo-heave-ho, yo-heave-ho, yo-heave-ho. And they'd put us in the airplane. Well, we were scared to death. Just like, but nobody would quit because nobody else would quit. If one guy to quit, we'd all quit. And then we set up on the airplane and lined up like this. You scared? And then we'd stand in the door. And then we'd all jump. And brother, when those chutes open, we'd all be in the air. The chutes open. It's all over. And we'd holler, "Hey, hey, hey, hey! Nothing to it, was there?" It's all over now. And we had a time going down, hollering at each other, waving at each other. And after a while, we won't have to worry about rushing to the doctor for afraid we're going to die. After a while, we'll be in a place where there'll be no undertakers. We'll must all be there. We won't be an undertaker. He'll change vocations when he gets there. It'll all be over then. Someday. We used to sing "The Beautiful Isle of Somewhere." And that's what it's all about. And we'll have ample things to keep us busy. Studying. Serving. Social. Learning, fellowshipping, and all these things that'll keep us busy forever. Sing it. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing it. In the sweet, I see Harley Dunsworth, Mr. Tudor, Mrs. Huber, I see Verdi Fields, I see Ed Roush, I see my mama, I see my two sisters. Father, thank you for heaven, the hope that beats in our breast. Thank you that we, no matter what we say, we didn't come close tonight to it. Eye hath not seen, neither hath entered the heart of man, ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things that you prepared for us.